Welcome back to Hoops HD, everybody. This is our weekly bracket rundown show with a glass of whatever I'm drinking tonight.
Whoa, that's my whiskey.
This is better than your whiskey, David. I got here some... I got here some 25th anniversary Knob Creek 121 proof. Now, this is a bottle.
That is good
stuff. Not your guy. This is a real good bottle.
No, here. Like most of my stuff comes in plastic bottles.
Your stuff comes with a 2-for-1, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Anyhow, this is our bracket rundown show where we go ahead and we are actually going to do two of the three steps that the actual selection committee does when they meet, which means we're going to be picking the at-large teams and building a seed list 1 through 68. The final step, which is actually building an actual bracket, we're going to do it off the air after the show. It's down below us, but if you went down there and looked at it, David, you just ruined the show.
Yeah, you just ruined the show. So good going. Yeah, a couple of things. First of all, the point of this is not to guess what the committee will do on Selection Sunday or suppose what they would do if today were Selection Sunday. This is entirely ours. We're not, for this particular exercise anyway, trying to guess the committee. If that's what you want, we've got two Selection Committee guessing experts in Rocco and Tytel. Tytel's bracket is up in the Bracketology tab if you want to see what we think.
Up there, yeah.
Yeah, or what he thinks the committee do. If I told you what I thought the committee would do, I'd probably get it wrong.
Well, David, I was actually thinking for tonight's show, we could just expedite the whole thing by just actually revealing the bracket that you did a few nights ago.
I was not happy about this, Chet. Like, you ripped it. You just ripped it apart. You said a lot of things that were unfair. David, there's my bracket. Why don't we just use that one?
Well, David, I decided I would bring it and show it to everybody. But you know what, David? I was going to concede that I made some mistakes, and I was going to give you a handshake, but you totally snubbed me. You know what, David?
I don't have any hands, you idiot. How the hell can I shake your hand? You can't just rip my bracket up like that. So rude.
Let's go ahead and move on to the actual. Let's pull up here what we're going to be working on tonight. This is the seed list that we're going to be building. As you can see, there are 68 slots there for the 68 teams. The last probably 20 or 21 of those are going to go to single bid conferences. If you want to find out about those teams, we do an Under the Radar podcast. You can find it lower down on the website, but I'm just going to be filling them in at the end of the show very quickly. The rest of the field, which is going to include all the teams that are going to get in through at-large bids as well as winning the automatic bids from the major conferences, is what we're going to be discussing tonight. And we're going to be building them in an order. We're going to use a few terms, David. Protected seed, what's that?
It is essentially the top four seeds. So
the top 16 teams, correct?
Yeah, the top 16 teams, the top four seeds.
And how about a first ballot team? What's that?
Generally, it's a team that's in the top half of the bracket, 8 and up. For the purposes of this show, what it is that it's a team that goes in right at the beginning of the process. The committee unanimously decides, or not unanimously, but super majority, I guess, decides this is a team that we want in, so nothing that they do during the conference tournament could possibly knock them out.
Correct. But I guess on that note, what I'm going to do is call on each of our panelists here at random to give me four teams, the next four teams up, beginning with the one line. We will discuss them, debate them back and forth. If I hear kind of a unanimous consent on it, we'll move on. If there is a debate, I've randomly chosen myself to be arbiter tonight, and I will make the final decision.
Well, yeah, I mean, you've already just ripped up.
I already ripped up your bracket, David, so we can keep moving. But
seed list is perfect. I do not want to be disagreed with tonight.
Let me go ahead and John Stalica is with us. I don't know if I introduced everybody or not. We just got into everything, but we do have down below me here David Griggs, John Tytel, Rocco Miller, John Stalica. Sleek, I'm going to start at the bottom. You're on the bottom of the screen there, so I'm going to let you start things off with the 4-1 seeds as of right now.
Oh, I thought for a moment you were going to make me start at the bottom of the seed list.
Yeah,
let's
go with the 16 teams going to date. Seed Titans. We got Prairie View, and go ahead.
Yeah, we're going to go ahead and start with Baylor and Kansas right here as the top two number one seeds right here. And I alluded to this in my final thought on Monday, but I'm going to go ahead and put San Diego State number 3 overall on my list, which would, in essence, put them first in line for the West. And then put Gonzaga as my 4th overall team here.
And that's a good point. There is a big difference here in the order between San Diego State and Gonzaga, because one of these teams will be playing in the regional out West, and the other team will be having to go probably all the way East for the regional. So it's who is rated higher is actually a little bit of an importance as we move forward. But Rocco, let me ask you first, what do you think of Salika's teams? Did he get it right? And did he get the order right there?
I would go, I think it's Baylor and the other three, and you can make an argument to how you want to order those three. I don't have a strong opinion yet. I'm waiting for somebody's shoe to drop between the three. But I do have Kansas up to the second spot, so I agree with John there. And I do see the case to put San Diego State above Gonzaga, but I personally still have Gonzaga above them.
Well, Tytel, I know you love undefeated teams, so where would you go on
that
San Diego State or Gonzaga argument? I'll put both those profiles on the screen here.
I think as of today, I will go with the undefeated team. And if they stay undefeated, I will stick with the undefeated team. But obviously, where they have six remaining games with nobody in the top 85, so I think they can do it. Although I think somebody can do it every year, and I'm always sorely mistaken. Zach's resume is amazing. So I think we don't need to spend a ton of time, because I think this is one of the easiest of the season we've had, where there's four number ones that are head and shoulders above everybody else. I agree that the order could make a big difference, but I think that they're all fine as is.
And David, is there a case at all for a fifth team to be in this here, or are we just...
Well, I mean, some of us, and we are a team, have been making a case for Duke, and I've been saying all along that that is just wrong. I mean, Duke, struggled to beat Boston College. I actually have San Diego State today, after looking at it and seeing them play, the only team that's won at BYU, I believe the only team that's won at Utah State. While they don't have the win away from home against a protected seed, I actually have them at number two overall now. I've really, really come around to them.
I think
Baylor, San Diego, not that it's not going to
that will not make a very big difference in terms of things, as opposed to San Diego State Gonzaga order, which I think will, because of which region the team will be up at the one seed in.
It's really close. And, if Gonzaga goes and wins at St. Mary's and wins at BYU, I might change my mind again. But right now, even on the court, if the two were to play, it's the unstoppable force against the immovable object. San Diego State, just a tremendously good defensive team.
Yeah, but one of the things, though, is Gonzaga will have the chances. Two games against St. Mary's, one game against BYU, plus the championship game in the West Coast Conference tournament against probably one of those teams again. So yeah. They may have the better resume at the end of the day. Right now, let's leave it here, though. Let's go out to the two line, though.
You got to keep in mind, San Diego State will have the Con Expo championship on their resume. Yes, there it is.
Rocco, how about giving us the two seeds? Let's get this done and over with and keep moving.
Yeah, for the number two seeds in order, I have the Louisville Cardinals, the Duke Blue Devils, the Seton Hall Pirates, and the Florida State Seminoles.
So this is the ACC line big time here. Other than Seton Hall, three ACC teams on here. And Tytel, you agree with him? Three ACC teams all here on the two line?
Man, I didn't go to the Seton Hall game last night in D.C., but I assure you that they did not look like one of the top eight teams in the nation, beating Georgetown's literally five healthy players by single digits. I like the other three teams, and I think that a Seton Hall argument can be made here. I think I'm riding the Dayton bandwagon. They just look unstoppable. And I think that it's a neat scenario when you were usually seeing the power conferences up here, but to have a Dayton, a San Diego State, and a Gonzaga from outside the Power Five as arguably three of the top five teams in the nation is just neat. This is a fine line. I would get Dayton in here and put Seton Hall down.
David, what do you think about that? Let me pull up the Dayton and the Seton Hall and me know your thoughts on that comparison. Is Tytel right that Dayton belongs in there and Seton Hall down?
I actually had Seton Hall six. I had Seton Hall on this line, and I had them in the middle of the line. I actually had them ahead of Florida State and Duke, and the reason is I am just salivating over winning at Butler, winning at Xavier, Georgetown, DePaul, Johnny. I mean, the fact that they've gone out and they've won six true road games against teams that are really, really good at home this year.
Well, let me bring Sleek in then, because he's salivating over a team that lost at home to Xavier, and I know Xavier's playing a lot better now, but can you put that in over a team like Dayton on the left here, who just hasn't lost to anybody except for two very, very good teams in Kansas and Colorado in overtime?
I think if we were to go purely based on resume, I could probably make the case for Seton Hall right here. But watching the two teams play on the floor, it's hard to argue against the Flyers right now. They're actually going to have two of their tougher games remaining coming up at home over the next couple days. One is going to be the Arch Baron Cup against St. Louis, and the other one is going to be their first of two matchups against Rhode Island, where they could probably just put the A-10 under lock and key if they end up winning both of those games.
Yeah, another thing to consider, Seton Hall a little shorthanded right now. I do want to say, and I've said this before, so I'll go ahead and say it again, since you brought up Dayton, I've long said and still believe that they're better than their resume, a lot better than their resume, so much so that, like, if you were to put them up here, it wouldn't shock me. I don't know if I like them more than Seton Hall, but I think I might like them more than Duke.
Well, we're going to go ahead and make that move. I think we will put Dayton in here, knock Seton Hall down. Just real quick, Tytel, what about the three ACC teams you agree, Louisville, Duke, Florida State, all here?
I mean, I would put West Virginia under consideration, but okay. No, I think this is fine. And even though Louisville almost lost against Wake the other night, since they have a win over Duke, I believe, on their resume, I love the fact that we put them above them.
Okay. So let's leave this as it is.
Chad, what changed your mind? Like, before you had Duke Dayton on, like, the four line, and have you finally started listening to me?
I don't know what you're talking about, David. Let's move on here. We are running out of time already. Tytel, let me go to you now for the three line. We do have Seton Hall and West Virginia under consideration. Did not quite make that line. Do you think those two belong in, and who else would join them?
I do think those two belong in. Their numbers seem to be pretty great to me. As far as the three line, I think there are several teams under consideration here. I would put Villanova, even though they lost last night, but it was on the road to a good team and a buzzer beater. And then for my fourth team, I think there's plenty of options here. Butler, since they beat Villanova. Auburn is slowly riding the ship. I would go with the Terps, but I think that there's several teams that could sneak into the three line here.
Okay.
Did I call on you, David?
Call on me. Okay, I don't see what all of you, literally all of you, see in Maryland. Pull Maryland up.
I mean, I love the Maryland pick here, but
I know you do. You're mentally deranged. I have Maryland not even as a protected seed. Ohio State has what, like two or three road wins. Rutgers has one. Purdue's awful on the road. Indiana is probably not a first ballot team. What have they done to make you think that they're good?
Let me respond to this right here before it's like I'm going to let you respond as well. But first of all, 8-3 in the best, the deepest conference in the country by far. On top of that, look at these metrics. Every single metric is top 10, other than, well, BPI is a 12, KenPom is an 11. That tells you this is a top 12 team. On top of that, these are very good wins, even if they're
home. No, they're not. Rutgers has one road win. How is that a good protected seed caliber win?
That's my buzzer. Salika, can you tell? Can you set David straight?
There is a Big Ten team that belongs up here, but it is not going to be Maryland. It is going to be the Nittany Lions of Penn State. Penn State, they finally get another signature win, and that was going to be at Michigan State. And also keep in mind, Penn State has beaten Maryland head-to-head right here. So,
now we've got at least a team to compare them to. What do you think about this idea of Penn State? I mean, there is the argument here. They've got the road wins. They also have a couple of ugly losses that Maryland doesn't have, though.
Yeah, just I like Penn State. I just don't like them in this cluster of teams that we've already introduced. I think they're in the next cluster just because of some of that schizophrenia that's happened throughout the year. The one thing to like about Maryland are the solid metrics and just a very clean resume. The four losses, perfectly understandable and excusable. Probably an argument for all four of those teams to be wearing white, in fact. If you look on the win side, they do have a credible win at Indiana and a lot of good home wins and a neutral win over Marquette. So I'm okay with Maryland getting in here on the three line. And I would actually argue to put Oregon in on the three line if nobody's mentioned them. I don't think they have.
I really like Oregon. Has a protected seed for all of you bracket gurus ever only had two road wins?
David, I got to respond to this at this point. You are comparing protected seeds at the end of the season to Maryland's current profile. If Maryland goes 0-6 in these remaining six road games, they will not be a three seed. I guarantee you that.
Okay, but okay, I can compare them to a lot of teams that I like more than them.
The question is, on February 6th, has a protected seed ever only had two road wins? And the answer is probably yes.
Not that I remember.
On February 6th. Go back and research February 6th for the last 10 years, David, and we can but we're going to leave this line alone.
Yeah, to David's point, I'm not a big fan of Maryland's resume either, but at a certain point, enough teams keep losing above them. They got to eventually move up, and they haven't been – you know, they haven't taken the bad loss yet, so they've gotten there by default of some teams above them losing too much.
Well, I hate to do this, but David, I am going to give you the four line. We have Butler, Auburn, and Oregon under consideration, but not in. But obviously, you can go any four teams you want, and then we can nix them all.
Oh, okay, definitely Oregon. And I have like the next one. I have Creighton all the way up here. I would also like to name
what
this
about
line
Penn State.
Penn State's next, and then Kentucky. And I would like to name this line teams that I think would beat Maryland on a neutral floor.
Okay, I'd like to name this line teams that probably – no, I don't think anyone would beat Maryland on a neutral floor, quite honestly.
I think they all would, honestly.
Have you actually seen Maryland play a game, David?
Yeah, quite a few.
Okay.
I've seen them lose on the road a lot.
Stalika, what do you think of these four teams? And not putting Butler or Auburn in yet, who had both those teams under consideration.
I like those teams.
I have teams like Butler and Auburn on the doorstep right here, so I'm certainly not going to complain about the four teams that are in right now. I would have probably at least considered Michigan State as next in line right here.
Well, Rocco, what about that? Should we be putting Michigan State in? Should we be putting a Butler and Auburn in instead of maybe a Creighton or a Kentucky?
Yeah, so – I certainly have Auburn in at this point, another really important road win this past, what was it, Tuesday night against Arkansas.
Right.
I think that helps solidify them even further to at least be a protected seed. I think you'll see them called Saturday morning when the bracket reveal happens. And then I also think Butler and Creighton are very close to number 16. I had to do a really close comparison. I just think Butler by a hair, but I can live with either choice.
Well, if you're going to put Auburn, are you knocking Kentucky down then?
I am knocking Kentucky down, yes.
Well, let's start with that question first, Tytel. Auburn versus Kentucky. Do the Tigers belong in above the Wildcats?
Well, using my ever-popular who did they beat when they played each other, I think Auburn has the edge. They are certainly getting it. I mean, both teams, it's a very close resume. I mean, the metrics seem to favor Auburn. The number of losses seems to favor Auburn. The Evansville game, like it's – I know it was a while ago, and I know the coach is no longer there and all that stuff.
I need another drink of that one.
Yeah. I need a drink, too.
I'm going to agree with that. Let's put Auburn in. The only question left is Creighton or Butler. So let me – Stalika, let me ask you that question also, which is one that Rocco raised, the Creighton versus Butler argument. Two teams from the same conference, and your conference here being a Big East guy.
I think it is worthy to note that Butler has beaten Creighton head-to-head right here.
Very good
Butler,
point.
I think – I forget if they had Aaron Thompson back in the lineup last night, but he has missed the past, I think, three or four games for them and could explain in part why they had lost in home to Providence right here. But Creighton also gets manhandled on the road at Providence, who has been kind of a Jekyll and Hyde team themselves.
Yeah, and so you if, look
I were
at,
to, if I had to answer the question right now, I would give the edge to Butler.
And I think I'm going to agree with you here. There's quadrant one or the tier one wins. There's an excuse, at least, or an asterisk by the Providence loss, as you just mentioned. So I think there's enough here that let's go ahead and make those last two teams. Instead of Creighton and Kentucky, we'll make them Auburn and Butler.
Yeah. Creighton has a much better – their best overall win's pretty good at Villanova.
As is their – David, we've already made the decision. Stalika,
I didn't want to be disagreeing.
We've got Creighton, Kentucky, Michigan State under consideration, but let's go ahead and add three more teams in for the five line.
I think I'll do this in the order of Michigan State, Kentucky, and Creighton as the first three teams I would put on the five line. And then the next one is going to be a little bit of a tough decision. Both of the teams I probably would have in mind are going to be coming in off of losses right here. But even though they got their ass kicked at Purdue last night, I'll go ahead and put Iowa here as my last number five.
All right. Now we're starting to see these Big Ten teams show up, and I think we're going to see a lot of them in the next couple of lines here. But Rocco, what do you think of these picks, especially the – is Iowa the team here, or should we go in with another Big Ten team or somebody else even?
Yeah, Stalika's right. This is a tough choice. We had a couple teams in the slot or close to it at the start of the week go down and go down hard. So, and I think a couple of teams even behind that didn't even get a chance to play yet this week. Like Arizona's in progress right now. So I'm
about 10 p.m. Eastern right now as we record this. Go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Chad. So I'm going to go ahead and I like Colorado a little bit better than Iowa and LSU is my next team, so I'll go with Colorado.
To tell you, you like that? Is Colorado the team to go here instead of Iowa?
I think I'm going to have to go with a little bias here. At 11 p.m. Eastern, hopefully Arizona will have a quality win against USC by double digits under their belt. I agree that Iowa might beat Arizona on a neutral court, but I still can't believe how horrible – Iowa's defense was against Purdue. So I know that Arizona has been struggling to win away from Tucson all year, and they're in Tucson tonight, but they're getting it done. So I will do a little homerism here for this one.
Well, at least Iowa had an excuse, because at least Purdue is somewhat of a tournament team. I don't know what Vanderbilt was, but that was not a good time for LSU to be losing a game all like right. that.
Yeah, you're not going to convince me LSU is here, but I do like
– Chad, mention the team that you want to mention. You were trying to bring it out of us. Go ahead and mention Illinois.
That was the other team that I was going to bring up here, yes. I think Illinois is the other team that should be in this group here. But
David, I like them. I actually like them more than Iowa.
But the question is really, I think I kind of like the idea of Arizona being the team here. David, what do you think on that?
I like Illinois more, because I think that they've won three road games against teams that have a combined total of six road or home losses. I just think that right now that's kind of the best. I know that their basement is probably lower, but when you look at what Illinois has done at Purdue, at Michigan, at Wisconsin, that is pretty damn good.
The basement is what gets me on the Illinois profile. Honestly, the Missouri-Miami losses, those are not good.
The non-conference strength of schedule.
Didn't Missouri lose to, what, Charleston Southern or something ridiculous? I mean
– They did. Well, you know, these things happen. It was the bragging rights game and, like – if you want to know where I think the real committee would do, I think it would be Illinois. I just like the Illinois team. But, yeah, I mean, they do have those black marks on their resume.
Obviously, should, after we finish recording this, USC come back in the second half and beat Ty Tell's team.
Don't even say it. La, 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 la.
But we will put Arizona in here. And let's see here. We are up to – I think we're up to Rocco. We're up to you for the six seeds. We got four teams under consideration also.
Yeah, so Colorado and Iowa and LSU in that order for me. And then I will go Illinois. So right. Pretty easy one. We've already talked about them all.
That's nice and easy. Does let's see, real quick, Titella, do you disagree with any of those picks?
I have no veto.
No veto. Stalika, any veto?
I still think it's going to be early to put LSU in here, and I would actually go for another team that's been quietly resurgent themselves, and that's going to be Kyle Lamb's Ohio State team right here.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a quick look at that LSU-Ohio State. I mean, I know there's a tendency after what LSU did last night to just want to throw them, you know, down onto the 12 line, but it's still a very good profile, even with the Vanderbilt loss.
I'm not saying throw them all the way down there, but they do need to be punished for losing a game like that.
I guess that when you look at the LSU profile, David, you've got, if you go tier one and tier two, there's so much there that they've been playing that, you know, the number 10 non-conference strength, the schedule, way tougher schedule, at least out of conference, than what Ohio State did.
They have, but I still like – I mean, Villanova has the neutral floor win against Kentucky, who we've already got in. They've won at Michigan. I think that the top's a lot better. Cincinnati, Indiana. I like Ohio State, actually, a little more.
Rocco, you want to defend your LSU pick?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't want to drop them too far. I'll be doing a little bit more of a deep dive later today for my bracket post tomorrow. But I think the body of work for LSU is still a little bit stronger. You know, that Rhode Island win just keeps getting better for them on a neutral court. They won at Texas and Tennessee out of conference. They picked up quality home wins against Florida, Mississippi State, Arkansas, and even to a degree Alabama. And so, you know, I just think slightly better still than Ohio State, but I can see the
argument. So you think Texas and Tennessee is better than Kentucky and Michigan and Penn State? I don't, but
LSU hasn't taken as many losses. They've only lost five times. Ohio State's lost, I think, seven.
Yeah, I mean, but only one of them was to a team that probably won't make the field.
I think
it's a close one.
I think it's a real close call here. Tytel, you want to be the deciding factor, Ohio State or LSU?
I will stick with my no veto.
All right, we're going to stick with LSU. It was a very close call. I could have been convinced either way, but I will go with Tytel's final decision there and let him go ahead and give us the next four teams as well with only Ohio State under consideration.
Let's move them into the seven line, please. As long as we're sticking in the Midwest, let's move Marquette in there. I know that they've been a little up and down in Big East play, but obviously, as Talika knows, if you sweep Xavier, you belong in this tournament. We're going to move Rutgers in to stay on Chad's good side, of course. And while I think that there are several teams from the Big Ten and American who can be discussed here, since Houston is destroying Tulane at the moment, let's use some recency bias and put the Cougs in.
I really hate to do this, but I got to take the argument against my own team here right now. Maybe, David, I'll let you do that here. Because I know what you love to see in a profile, and I admit Rutgers does not have the road.
There just isn't enough there. Seton Hall and Penn State have played well on the road. Purdue has not. Minnesota certainly has not. Indiana has not. I mean, I realize that those are good teams, but you have to look at not only who you beat, but the circumstance of the game. And when a team that's good but is bad in true road games, when you beat them at home, it's not quite the same as beating them on the road or on a neutral court. Like, I just can't get there with Rutgers. They're in my field, but not this high.
Yeah, well, Salika, if we take Rutgers out, who would you put in? Or do you want to make the case for Rutgers at the seven line?
Well, I think the other thing we have to keep in mind for Rutgers is if they're going to get a road win, it's going to have to come against either Ohio State, Wisconsin, Penn State, or Purdue. None of those are going to be easy, and they would be explainable even if they do end up losing one of those games. But if I had to pick another team right here, oh, boy. I'm just going to leave it as it is right now because you're not going to like my other options.
You live in it. Well, Rocco, what about you? Do you want to stick with Tytel's list here then?
I like Ohio State, Marquette, and Houston. I actually have USC just slightly above Rutgers.
Okay, well, let's look.
As John mentioned already, if they go down tonight, that definitely
it's hard for me to say that you fault USC too much for a road loss in Arizona. It's not a big negative at all on the profile.
The road wins are a good positive as well.
They got all those road wins and the neutral court win against an LSU team that we've already put in. I think that's a good swap out right here, quite honestly. I think that's what we should do is put USC in and put Rutgers under consideration. Sorry, Tytel. Sorry, me.
Gosh. Sorry, you.
I should lose my degree for this, but I really think we need that big road to be a solid wearing white type of team. However, let's go to David. Let me go to you for the next four teams, the eight line.
Okay. I have whiskey up here. I know that
I got whiskey right here.
Yeah. Their record isn't that great, but their schedule is really, really rough. I think they've earned it. Michigan, although they only have one road win, they've got some really good wins away from home, including Rutgers. Texas Tech, I don't like their strength of schedule, but I do like how they've been playing lately. And I guess the next one, I had Wichita State, but I kind of want to swap them out for BYU now, considering that they just lost again at home and are kind of struggling there. And the thing I like about BYU is just, again, they've beaten decent to good teams away from home.
Well, that's like, what do you think about that? BYU coming in here, Wichita State just suffered a loss to Cincinnati tonight. So is BYU the team? Is Texas Tech correct here?
I would agree that BYU probably deserves a little consideration, but I think instead of Texas Tech, I think we should consider a team like Virginia instead, who seems to have righted their own ship finally.
All right. Well, let me do this. Rocco, last year's national championship game, Virginia-Texas Tech, who belongs in here for this year?
Neither.
Good call.
Not on the eight line.
Okay.
We'll get to them at some point. I like both the WCC teams in my backyard here. St. Mary's down the road and BYU a little further away.
We got BYU in here already for this line. So St. Mary's better than Texas Tech is your argument.
Right. And then my other two, I agree with Rutgers and I agree with Michigan.
Okay. Well,
sell me on St. Mary's a little bit because I just am not – all the way there with them.
Rocco, there's two home losses at the bottom there. Texas Tech hasn't done anything bad.
They haven't done anything bad, but they have a sub-500 quad two record, which is a big red flag. I think they're 5-8 in those games. And I think St. Mary's, just over the course of time, they've been able to accumulate, they're a 5-3 top two quadrant record. Another 5-2 at a quad three, obviously not great because two bad home losses there. But I think St. Mary's, with the neutral court win over Wisconsin, they beat BYU at home despite losing to them on the road. They also beat Arizona State, who's a very bubblicious team on a neutral court. Basically, actually, that was out here in San Francisco. And then they won at San Francisco, which is a team that BYU couldn't beat here. So I just think overall they've proven themselves. The metrics are very nice. In terms of the net, they're close to 30, so I like them.
You see, I guess I understand what you just said here. That Texas Tech, when you look at them, right now, I see 6-8 against the top two quadrants versus 6-3 versus 6-3 versus the top two quadrants. You think 6-3 is better? When I look at teams, though, I kind of look at the other way. I say, how many wins you have against the top two quadrants versus losses outside those top two? In which case, I got a 6-0 Texas Tech team and a 6-2 St. Mary's team. If you look
That's a fair argument. I think you can look at it both ways. I think when you compare a team from like the WCC or maybe even the A-10 or the Mountain West to a power conference team like Texas Tech, you got to, to get a true comparison, if as close as possible, you got to take in the extra quadrants, because most of their games from like the WCC perspective are going into that quadrant two, quadrant three area.
Well, Tycho, let me bring you in here on this discussion. St. Mary's, Virginia, Texas Tech, BYU even. I mean, who are the two teams here?
I mean, if you're not going to advocate for your own school, I will. I still think that Rutgers has good metrics. Wichita is close, but lost a heartbreaker tonight at home. Virginia, I agree with John that they are trending amazingly in the right direction, but they have so much bad on their resume from the first several months of the season. And St. Mary's is in the discussion here. I could easily see them coming in, but I think that's – this line is pretty good as is, frankly.
I think Tytel just talked me into Rutgers over Texas Tech. Thank you.
Tytel, do not do that.
The only bad on his profile is losing at home to Angry Frank and FBC. Is that really as horrific as losing to Winthrop and Pacific?
I'll tell you what, Sleeka, why don't you go ahead and give me the next four teams? We do have four teams under consideration there, including Texas Tech.
Let me just do a little bit of scrubbing on my end right here. So I'll go ahead and add both Texas Tech and Virginia as a bit of a compromise right here. And let me see. We did not add St. Mary's yet, so I will go ahead and add them. And if I had to add an SEC team, I will go ahead and add Mississippi State.
On the nine line. Rocco, is that too early for Mississippi State? Like about four or five lines too early or what?
I think so. I mean, if they won at Rupp the other night, we'd be talking about them now. But, so hang on. I'm going to pull that back up. So Texas Tech, Virginia, St. Mary's. So I agree with Texas Tech and St. Mary's here. I think it's probably time to start talking about Arkansas and Indiana to go with those two.
Yeah, let's talk about Mississippi State here. Tytel, Mississippi State versus an Arkansas or an Indiana. Is there really an argument for Mississippi State at this point, or is it Arkansas, Indiana, the teams? Fuck.
I think it's not Mississippi
State. Okay there, David.
I mean,
my mistake. I'm watching television.
I think La Tech and New Mexico State are going to make the field, so these might end up being tier two losses eventually. But it's a shame they couldn't get it done at LSU in last month. Would have been a huge win. They came up 1 point short.
So if memory serves me correctly, I do think Weatherspoon was actually suspended when that Louisiana Tech game had taken place, although it is fair to point out I'm not as forgiving for losing games due to suspensions as injuries, but it still would at least to some degree explain what happened that night.
Well, I think if we do take Mississippi State out, David, I think it's one of these two teams, and I think I already know your answer, but I'll give you a chance here. The team with no road wins on the left or the team with road wins on the right?
Including a road win at the team on the left, it's Arkansas.
Okay.
I do like Indiana. I actually had Indiana right behind them, but I just like Arkansas more.
Okay, well, we will put both Indiana and Mississippi State under consideration, although I just lost
I have Mississippi State way down the list. I'll...
Four S's, Chad.
There we go. I can't spell Mississippi State, so we got to get them in quickly.
Did we really put Virginia them in on this line?
Okay, well, let's talk about that Virginia. Should we have Virginia in here or should Indiana be in here? Tytel, how about that question?
I just stated I think they have too much bad on their resume earlier, even though it's getting good now.
Okay, so you'd go Indiana?
I would. I mean, in terms of in a month, I think it's going to be switched. They're both going in opposite directions, but Virginia just has too much losing on its resume. And I understand that Angry Frank and BC are not terrible, but it's a loss. It's two losses.
All right, so we will go ahead and do that flip here. We will put Indiana in for now, Virginia out for now. I don't think it'll be for very long. And we are up to Rocco for the next four teams.
All righty. So the next four teams... Okay, those guys got in. So
Virginia and Wichita State are not in, as nor is Mississippi State, and a lot of teams we haven't discussed yet.
Okay, so I will go with Stanford, Rhode Island, Wichita State, and Oklahoma.
State and Oklahoma. Tytel, what do you think about those four teams here? Did he get it right?
I like it. I'm actually going to see Rhode Island as a spectator when they come to visit GW on Saturday. I'm very excited to see Pat Russell in person because I think he's about like 5'5", so it's going to be interesting to see how he does. Stanford has been a very hard team to figure out this year for me. I still think that they could win the Pac-12, but since there's like five teams with three losses in the Pac-12, they could also finish like on the lower half of the conference. Wichita, they were so close tonight, and the Sooners have been up and down. I could see either of the under-consideration teams getting in here, but I think this is a pretty solid line.
All right. David, you agree also?
Stanford and Oklahoma just do so little for me. I think they've beaten a lot of a smattering of average to decent teams, and they've avoided losses to average to decent teams. But like,
wait, which is 10 and 11 C caliber teams, correct?
You got to do a little. I mean, okay, Oregon.
Look at Oklahoma. One beat Minnesota neutral court. One at Texas has a couple more road and neutral wins in tier two.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think
Stanford
it's
as
good
Oregon.
As a win at, yeah, I don't think it's as good as a win at Colorado or a win at LSU or a win at Seton Hall and other teams that, for the most part, with the exception of the team that won at LSU, have avoided bad losses as well.
I want to jump in and go back to a Chad's criteria here. If we're going to say quad one and two wins and quad three and four losses, Stanford is 4-2. Yes, they beat Oregon at home, but you lose at Cal, you lose at home to Oregon State. Those are losses you can't be taking on when you're on the bubble.
The one thing I'll say is that Oregon State loss might end up as a quad two by the end of the season.
Okay. Put Stalika U up next to either one of them, I guess.
Well, let's go ahead. And I like the Oklahoma pick here, so I think let's put Xavier up against Stanford, though.
I just think that's better.
Well, Rocco, isn't it better?
There's a lot to like in the top left, but I think once you start getting into the meat of it, you start seeing a little bit more positive for Stanford, like in the Q2, Q3 area. I know that the committee likes road wins, and that is a huge positive for Xavier, and I'm high on them as well. I just think with the combination of Stanford not having – a lot of losses, and with their net being so high, I just feel like at some point they got to split the difference, and around a 10 seed makes sense.
Well, we'll put Xavier under consideration here. I think they really need to be in on the next line. And we are up to you, Stalika, so I'll let you put your own team in, correct?
Give me 1 second here. I'm going to go ahead and mark Stanford, Rhode Island, Wichita State and Oklahoma.
Oh,
is this not
a good pick?
Is this not
wait,
a great?
Wait, was it your turn, Sleek? I'm sorry. I think it's actually Tytel's turn. I actually miscounted the spots here. Sorry about that. But Tytel, it's actually your turn for the next four teams.
Forgiven. We're going to move Rutgers down to. I'm kidding. Okay. So I think we'll put in all three of these under consideration because I think that we're getting to that spot where we need to get them in, and this is the line. As far as the fourth team, I think that even though you could argue, especially after last night for a team like Purdue, I think that some of the other teams I've had around here have been fading, although Memphis, I think, pulled it out tonight, but BCU's been fading. I would put under consideration some of the smaller schools like a Northern Iowa and an East Tennessee State, just so we can see how their metrics match up. Purdue is amazing. Like, they have so much losing on their resume, but they're starting to beat a lot of good teams in the Big Ten, and they have a little win over the defending champs from way back when. So I think that the committee's going to like them.
Yeah, so you want to go – let's go Purdue here for the fourth team. Sleeka, to start with you, what do you think about that? Are these the four teams, including Purdue, getting in on the 11 line? And,
by the way,
we are in the first four now, and actually Virginia and Purdue would both be in the first four going to Dayton already.
I agree on the first three teams for sure. I suppose I could live with a team like Purdue, but also do me a favor and pull up Florida's profile because they also should be considered right here for the 11/play-in round.
Well, David, what do you think about that? Purdue, Florida, who should be here?
I like Purdue a little more. There's some teams I like more than Florida. My next two are Northern Iowa and East Tennessee State, which right. Tytel mentioned, and I actually have Cincinnati ahead of Florida.
Well, let's discuss Cincinnati. Rocco, let me bring you in here to discuss Cincinnati because David's been on the Cincinnati bandwagon for a long time. I am finally paying attention to them, at least.
Okay, I've never actually put them in the field. I said that I thought they were playing like a tournament caliber team.
I'm paying attention with the win tonight, but you've got three quad three losses.
Oh, it's not like I have them on the five line. It's not like I have them where Maryland.
You got them above Baylor last time I looked. Go ahead, Rocco.
I'm probably the worst person to ask about Cincinnati. At the start of the week, I had them as about my eighth team out, and now tomorrow I'll have them as my AAC auto bid, so I don't have to do a lot of research on them yet. But those three quad three losses just off the cusp here don't look promising compared to some of the teams next to the cut line, even like in Arizona State and Mississippi State, etc. I think for the 11 seed purposes, I would like – it looks like we have Florida on the board now. Yeah. I do have Florida as my next team at the top of that list. And then I have Xavier, Northern Iowa, and Virginia.
Well, Xavier, we just put in there. Virginia, we just put in there. I'll tell you what. We've had a lot of mention of Northern Iowa. Let's go ahead and put them in here as the next team up, going to the 12 line, because it doesn't actually affect the number of teams in. They would be an auto bid out of the Missouri Valley Conference.
Okay.
Right. So we still have two spots, I think, to go here. And we actually already put Purdue in as well.
Yeah, so Florida is my top choice above all those on the 11.
Yeah, so we've got Florida, Cincinnati, Arizona State under consideration. David, would your next team – let's just go one team here. There's only two spots left. Would your next team be Florida?
No.
Cincinnati?
East Tennessee State.
Oh, East Tennessee State. Okay, David's putting in East Tennessee State. All right, Stalika, up for you now. Would you be going Florida, Cincinnati, Arizona State, or somebody else?
This is actually going to be a tough one right here, but since I can only choose one, I'm going to take Florida right here. Let's not forget the Gators do have a win against Xavier back in November that's starting to look good again.
Well, we've got two teams left here. Tytel, let me go to you for our final team here. Cincinnati, is it Arizona State? Is it somebody else we haven't mentioned?
It is definitely not Arizona State.
I was going to say, don't waste your time. Like, just put it in. You know what I'm going to do.
You're going to go?
Yale. Come on. It's going to be Cincinnati.
He's not going to pick the Sun Devils.
I like the Yale pick.
Or Yale.
I think this is a very good field, but, I mean, we ended up with only one team under consideration we didn't put in. So I want to throw a few other teams on the board there that are close. So let me go through each of you. Rocco, start with you. A few other teams that are close, and maybe we can be convinced to make a change here if we really like one of them.
Yeah, I think last week we – I guess I wasn't on last week, but I believe Memphis was probably in the field. They haven't lost since. They won again tonight. I don't know if they deserve to be kicked out. They certainly should be on the board.
Right.
But I think the lesson for Memphis here is, I mean, they're kind of treading water, but when you look at teams like Xavier and Cincinnati who have jumped out of nowhere, that's what happens when you're going to make the most out of your opportunities.
Well, David, who else are we not? Who else are we not discussing that should be here? Or is that it? Have we suddenly made? Is it suddenly really easy this week? We're down to only a couple teams that.
I got a few more. A team that's coming up, and I don't think they're quite there yet, but they're really close. Two, actually, Richmond. There's a lot I like about them. The win at Wisconsin. They do have some blah on their resume. The more and more I look at Utah State, I know I totally wrote them off, and I know they didn't get any of the big wins, but there's enough decent there that it might equal good if they can avoid losses to anybody but San Diego State the rest of the way. And the Orange. I know that they did lose at Clemson, but they're a team that's gone out and won on the road. Again, there's enough, not anything really good, but enough decent there to maybe put them in the discussion at least.
I think the only team that when you look at this, Memphis is probably the only team that Titella Bassi, Memphis may be the only team on here that should get serious looks at for one of these final spots. For example, the one we just gave to Cincinnati.
I agree. I mean, we can throw VCU and Liberty and those types of teams under consideration, but I think we did a great job, if I can pat all of us on the back, in that I don't think there's anybody under consideration who I have strong feelings should be in and somebody on the 11 or 12 should be out, frankly.
I think I did an excellent job. I agree with Titel.
I'm going to go ahead and fill out the rest of the 12 line with Yale, Stephen F. Austin.
Let's do that. I am curious to hear our selection committee guessing experts on SFA because they are so unique. They have the win at Duke. They have a bloated record, but their metrics and everything are terrible. Have you ever even – I don't think the committee would take them, but have you ever seen a team like this? Like look at that quad four.
If they hadn't lost the game to Corpus Christi, it'd be a very – really have that argument. Yeah. That Corpus Christi home loss is just
– Yeah, that loss is dragging them down. But, like, I mean, it would be another sub-300 win, and it would probably be 330 because that win
– Yeah.
I mean, they beat SFA, and they're still not a top-300 team. How bad is this Corpus Christi team? Anyway,
but I don't know. I don't know how that happened. I remember doing some of the forecasting before that Corpus Christi game, and I had for a while them inside the bubble by a little bit. So they certainly would be close, if not in. But their net ranking, I think, needs to align, and they're at 91 still. They're going to have
315 strength of schedule. Look at it. Look.
Well, they're 129 out of conference though, and I think that's how they would actually be measured.
They got 10 million quad four wins. I mean. Yeah, they should have been one, but they blew it.
They got more quad four wins than Baylor. I mean, that's how good. But look at their remaining. Oh my God! 1, 2, 3, 4. Go back to that for 1 second, Chad. That is okay. They're certainly not going to get any better. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Six of their remaining 9 games are against teams that are not in the top 300. Wow.
I'm going to real quick bring up here the 13 through the 16 seeds. We got Vermont, Liberty, New Mexico State, Louisiana Tech. Again, as we mentioned, check out our Under the Radar podcast. It goes all the way down to Prairie View there at number 68. But on that note, I think we've got our field here. I think we've got a top under considerations. I want to run through each of you for any other final thoughts on either what we did or maybe team we didn't mention that you like or a team we left out that you like or anything else you want to discuss. And Rocker, let me start with you tonight.
Well, just some instant reaction stuff. So Cincinnati versus Memphis profile-wise, I think Memphis would have to win out if it really did come to that. But overall, that wouldn't be a huge issue, I don't think, because the conference would still get the equal amount of shares. And either way, teams going to Dayton in that scenario. So can certainly live with that. I think the Stephen F. Austin point is a good one, but I think everybody should keep in mind if they can hold on to number one and if they're even in any kind of discussion, they're going to get a bye to the semi. So all they got to do is win twice when they get to Katy. So they're going to set themselves up with a very reasonable opportunity to just win two games and go to the tournament regardless.
Right. And obviously, if Stephen F. Austin needs an at-large bid, they will have another Corpus Christi-esque loss at the bottom of the profile.
Yeah, they will.
And that will not get them in.
Correct.
Correct.
And then a shout out real quick to Charleston. They're really turning around and they're in charge of the CAA right now.
Yeah, I actually had Hofstra in. I built this before the game that went final tonight, but there was a 3-way tie in the Colonial between Hofstra, Billy Mary, and Charleston. Charleston probably should be number one now, but oh well. Slinka, how about you?
We talk about teams like Purdue and Minnesota that are going to have kind of ugly records in the Big Ten, but I want to add one team under consideration, and that's going to be the Providence Friars. This is another team that overall is probably going to be miles out of the NCAA tournament, but when you look at some of their wins, like at Butler and at home against Creighton, or even at Texas back in December, I think the Friars are going to at least deserve a cursory look right here. If you're a team like Xavier, for example, yes, you've had a great week, but you better not sleep on the Friars at home, because they are more than capable of pulling off a stunner on the road right here. And I think they're also the only team that's won at Marquette this year, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, and you know, you can almost say, okay, we just talked about Charleston. You can forgive that loss. Long Beach, Penn at home. Yeah. Sorry, Tytel. But speaking of that, Tytel, why don't I go to you?
I'm happy to talk about beating Providence. So as far as the field, some of the thing that catches my eye is this Delika special, in terms of, can you imagine a scene in Dayton where you have some play-in games involving Xavier and or Cincinnati? I think that would be amazing. As far as some off-court final thought, I don't know if it's easy to pull up the NEC standings. If it is, that's great. If not, no problem. I still can't believe who is leading the NEC. It's a little team called Merrimack. As you can see there, sorry.
It's coming up in a second. That's Big Ten. I'm loading up the
new let me just interrupt right here. If Xavier and Cincinnati end up playing each other in Dayton, that would definitely be a pro Bearcat crowd right there.
We won't get into it. Actually, the bracketing rules would discourage the regular season rematch. But go ahead, Tytel. Northeast Conference, so, there it is.
They're in red, as Chad points out, because that means that they're not going to be taking the auto bid and making it to the tournament. But to make the leap from D2 to D1, and all they've done is go 10-1 in conference, including 9-0 in their last 9 games. It's really amazing. I don't know how Coach Joe Gallo is doing it, but I certainly would not want to play Merrimack next year, because once they're eligible, I think that they've shown they're capable of winning this conference.
Yeah, they got 3 more years.
Well, you know what? Forget it. Robert Morris, you're out. Merrimack, you're in. Go ahead. Why don't you finish out the show for us?
Me?
You, David.
Okay. It's my turn to wrap. A little bit unusual. It seems like most of the time, especially in February, when we're doing this, we're all talking about how weak we think the bubble is, and it isn't really until the conference tournaments, which force bubble teams to play bubble teams, that teams play their way in. I'm not really holding my nose that much with anyone. Cincinnati has really been playing well. I think they'll continue to play well. Florida, you know, a top 10 team at the beginning of the season that I still think could bust up. I'm not as big on, like, Oklahoma, Mississippi, but even it seems like everybody on the bubble right now, Virginia, Purdue, Mississippi State, even Oklahoma to an extent, are playing their way in, instead of it's just a race to play your way out and you take the one that smells the least bad. I really like how everybody that's inside the bubble and that's around the bubble is playing right now.
Well, that is right now. We'll see where we are next week, because there are teams that were here last week and the week before, like Vatek, NC State, that didn't even make our board, and that's how bad things are going for some of these schools.
We replaced them with better teams.
But on that note, I'm going to go ahead and pull this down here, and I do want to take a chance to thank everybody for joining us. We'll be back again with next week with a lot
more
podcasts. But on behalf of John Tytel, he's over there. David Griggs over there. John Stalica, Rocco Millie. Check him out at bracketeer.org as well. I am Chad Sherwood. I'm going to go ahead and finish my whiskey now, and we will talk to you again real soon.